My name is Michael Chalice. I'm 14 years old. Today is November 24th, 2018. I'm speaking with Frank Abram Jr., who is my granddad. We're recording this in Chicago, Illinois. Why did you agree to this interview today?
I asked you what you're doing it, so I said, do me too. You did my wife.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Got born in Cook County Hospital and stayed on 37 in Lake Park as a kid. And remember being with my father in the restaurant business. That's most I spent my life in the restaurant business till I got older.
Remember what restaurant?
Called F&A Cafe and Pig and Whistle. Pig and Whistle was on Cottage Grove. F&A was on 43rd and Calumet. One was on Cottage Grove.
Alright, seeing how...
And, yeah. Yeah, and one was on 14th and Wabash. 14th and Wabash. Yeah, for the first one I can remember. The second one was Pig and Whistle. The last one was 43rd and Cottage Grove. 43rd and King Drive. One block from west of King Drive. Okay.
Seeing how your life was back then, like looking back on your life, what advice would you give to your teenage self?
Well, the biggest I can say is stay in school. Learn all you can learn to help you fight against the world as you walk forward. That's the biggest thing I can say.
What did you make it through? Like, did you go through high school?
No, I never did go through high school. I finished up in, I would say, ninth grade, the last one I was in. I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and came back and started as a butcher for Homer King Meat Company. And from there, I finished Transformer, making Transformer lights. And from there to working automotive and security. And then into the steel mill, doing truck driver backwards and forth, anything to make a living because I didn't have a full education. So TV repairmen and refrigerator, carpenter, heating boilers. I did some of everything. I was successful with it.
It's kind of weird because people think today, like, I don't know how to put it, but education is important, but not to the extent that people think today. Like, people think that you need to have a bunch of different degrees and all that to be successful in your life. What do you think, what's the meaning of successful to you?
The meaning of successful to me, since I didn't finish school, to be successful in everything I put my hands on and do. That's the reason why I can name everything I have done in life and was successful with it. I'm a man of many things I can do. So, and I made money into it. So, if it was forklift, payload, or bulldozer, I drove them all. Airplane, I've had. Tractor semi, I've had. Did automotive, I did that. Did carpenter, electrical, plumbing, heating, I have did all of that. Even down to electronics. Certain schools I was in, I taught some electronics, everything I knew. So that's when I'm saying you have to be a judge of what you're going to do in life to say this is the way I want to go and I think I'll make a living. But since mine was harder, it's harder now because everywhere you go, they ask for a diploma. So you must have a diploma and finish school and then try to get you some college to better yourself. I was successful with that, but I'm bad otherwise. You know, I'm being across the bets towards everything they do. I can do it and do it probably even better.
Would you say not, like, finishing school?
Would hurt me? Yes, it would hurt me because you got to learn how to read and write and spell. A lot of stuff that I read for automotive, I had to read it myself. And basically, a lot of things my wife helped me with. I went through a lot of things in life, and I can get with any city inspector towards anything towards the house or anything towards a car. I'm good at it, and I'm proud to say I am. And if you listen to other people, you would think I graduated in everything that I've done, but not so. If they ask me a question, I can answer it. I dare anybody to, because I know it. So you don't have the chance that I've had. You got to finish school. And don't let that joke be a joke. You know, you got to have that. So that's when my granddad said, finish school regardless, because you never know what you might be.
So how has your life been different than how you imagined it when you were younger?
When I was younger, there's a lot of things I did in life I wouldn't do today. I seen all my school friends all dead and gone, because they did things that I wouldn't do. Still me going to a swimming pool. I stayed and painted an apartment. And then my friend died by jumping in a pool and wanted me to go with him. So I don't know if my time or what, but I kept on being, trying to make money the best way I know without stealing and cheating.
So tell me about your parents.
My parents was real good parents. They stayed in the restaurant business and the grocery store business for me understanding. My dad was a bona fide carpenter, so a lot of trades he done. He was a cook in the army, come out of the army, opened up his own business. Started with a grocery store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then moved to Chicago and started restaurant business as a cook. And my mother tagged along with him. Then we went into real estate and I did remodeling with my dad, shoving coal and hauling coal to different places. And I learned to deal with real estate. So that kept me way, way out of trouble. Never been to jail in my life for anything.
So you were like, even though you didn't have that education, still pretty well-rounded, like.
I did some of everything. I did some of everything.
Yeah.
I couldn't weld, but I got my eye closed for welding a boiler for 72 apartments. I had to try it. And I learned that I had other people to learn me, to keep me going. Even to bricking boilers, putting in 3,200 pound boilers. I did a lot in my life. You know, waste my father and my mother kept me going, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me today, if I'm sorry about the things I have done in life, one of it is that refusing to go back to school. And now I miss it. And I'm 63 years of age and I can't change now. I don't know if I'm gonna live or I'm gonna die. I don't know which one gonna come first. Is I'm gonna need school at the age of where I'm at there now, I think I can hold my weight. Right as it is now.
So, you were a pretty good kid then. But how was my mom like? And even my uncles, all of them. How were they like as kids?
All beautiful. All beautiful. That's one thing I didn't have to worry about my kids. Most of my kids at the age of 12, I had them doing miter cuts for remodeling, doing brake jobs. At the age of 12, my oldest son could put on a set of brakes on a car with no sweat. Carpentry work, every one of my kids can do something. So I can't complain. None of my kids been in trouble for anything. Can't complain.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Oh, it's always going to be that way. Difficult going to be money. M-O-N-E-Y. When you going to make the next dollar? How long going to take it? And will it cover your expenses?
Money is big issue. You can tell me about one or two people who have the biggest influences on your life.
Well, my dad is one of them. My mom is two. Frank Emmanuel Abram and Alma Abram, my mother. Anything my daddy can do, I try to do. He told me, son, you need to know this because you never know. You might have a job for it. Even for roofing, tarring, it didn't matter. Even for lead, keeping kids out of lead poison and all that. I did all of that, my lifestyle. I had a great big ordeal.
They had a big, I could see they had a big impact on your life.
Yes.
And that's why you try to get us to go out there and go with you and do all that stuff.
So you have something, son. Yeah. So if you got a house and you need to know certain things about a house, you are going to get one when you get old enough. You know, what you can do, how you can get around. If I fix a car, I try to get you to show you that. You know. Mm-hmm. It takes time in the learning, but they're just like at school. You can put all the school in you, but you know, you have some people got college degrees and can't change oil, can't change the plug. You gotta have more under your belt than anything. I don't care what it is, even cooking, it doesn't matter.
Can you tell me about one or two people that you remember particularly, like that you knew, who were kind of you in your life?
Huh?
Like, who were one or two people that was kind to you? Like,
other than
your mom.
Yeah. Basically, in my life, I had a lot of people that were kind to me. A lot of people. And, quite a bit of people, names that I can keep going on and on that were really kind to me. And I didn't use kindness for weakness. I try to stay in the area where if I see somebody doing something wrong, I get away from that. You know, I always want something positive to do. I had a school buddy named Rudolph Daniel, I'll never forget. He was in the Boy Scout. His brother Alvin was in the Cub Scout. We went to school together, came to be good friends. I think we was a little bit over 1967 snowstorm that hit. And he was one of the guys that I said that I stood to paint a room, then to follow him, and he died by swimming in a swimming pool, drinking. And we wasn't that old, you know. And I wasn't even married at the time, but that just showed to not to get into trouble. You know, but I had always good friends and good people too, were kind to me.
on a positive side, like, what are the positive moments and memories that you have?
Positive moments and memories for me to stand on a scaffold at the age of 16 years of age to do plastering, to plaster hallways and apartments and everything that my father taught me. And he told me, Bugs, you're gonna need this one day. And I knew I was good when I had to do a remodeling for my father-in-law's apartment house that caught a fire. I had somebody out of Louisiana want to challenge me, and he lost.
Tell me about
that. Yeah, I told you about that. Yeah. So that's for real. If you hear the granddaddy say, this is what went down. That's how I knew that my father taught me well in everything I do. Before I was married, I was doing heating. And he taught me real well to learn how to do heating. Now I use heating to get married, you see? So, I mean, everything I use in life, I tell you something, I remember a lady at Home and King Meat Company when I was growing up that I really liked it. And they had one guy named Homer King. He was the owner. And we had another lady there that she knew I couldn't read. She was the secretary. And I'm trying to think of her name, so it must have been a long time ago. She taught me when I came into the meat company to do all my homework. And she didn't take no for an answer. Before I started making cue sticks, I had to complete my homework. And I think about her every day in my lifestyle, because that one woman that was strictly on me. The next person I had that I liked it was Hunter. I was in Vincent Upper Grade Center when all the kids walked out of school because of my mice. They boycotted. And I told Mr. Hunter that I'm the only student, I got a good chance to learn from you. And I stayed in the classroom. Out of all the teachers I had, that was the only teacher that I respected that gave me a life to say, hey, you didn't run, you sit here, and then a mice or rat didn't bother you. We kept class going. And I wish I could see that man now, but perhaps he might be dead, I don't know. To take my hat off to him, because he was the best teacher I know in my life.
What were some of the negative moments or memories from your life? What were some of the negative moments and memories?
Well, I didn't have too much of that, you know. I didn't have too much.
You tell me. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you learned in life?
Oh, I learned electronics was the biggest lesson I learned. His name was Scott Hodges, was the gentleman name I learned electronics, repairing televisions and VCRs and camcorders. The next one was Lawrence Evans, 67th Street TVs. I learned a many things from him. And the biggest of them, of all that came out of service, was Otis Swain. He was a TV technician for Montgomery Wards. I was so bad, they had to pay me less because I fixed too many TVs. You know, I was making more money than he can get rid of the television set. So that was the biggest moments of my life that I would never forget to you guys. You know, my daddy was a TV repairman too also.
What are you most proud of personally and professionally?
Proud? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm proud of everything I do. I have so many people call me for different things. How you do this, how you fix that and all that as I drive along the day on the highway. It's just so many people ask me certain things. Some people say you're too smart. You just know so much. I can't help it because that's what I've done in life.
What are you most grateful for?
I'm grateful for living. 63 years of age, I'm grateful God let me see more.
What are your hopes and wishes for me and my children?
My hopes and wishes for you and your children is to have a better life than what I had. And think about every move you do twice before moving. Anything you're not for sure, ask somebody before you make a decision. Because decisions hard to turn back in life. It is. So I don't want you to do what I do. Do better than I do. You know?
Mm-hmm. So the concept of like the next generation doing better than the last is what
you teach them.
Yeah.
What you show them. How you were brought up. That let them know this is one of the reasons why you ask and you want to receive things from them. You know, in the base of everything, a lot of people think about school as a different ordeal, but school is something just don't mean just school. It gives you a time limit to get up in the world, brush your teeth, wash up, prepare yourself for school. Is just like you preparing yourself to do what, go to work. And once you got your mind set on that ordeal, you can succeed in anything you want to do. Because then the people say, oh, I know he's going to be here. He's coming. He's going to make this money. He's going to keep us going. So that's the reason why school means a whole lot. A lot of people just think of that school. But it will prepare yourself in life.
Can you tell me a favorite memory that you have of me?
Of you? Mm-hmm. Oh, my favorite memory. My favorite memory of you. I got quite a few. But I'm going to try to hit one. One, when I let you did the flooring in this bedroom and let you went off. I cut a few pieces for you to go by. And praying that you went by, you did darn good. Even when we did the gutters in the roof and the fence work and all that, was a favorite to work with my grandson and all my nephews, that which is your cousin on my brother's side, saying that I'm gonna give you something that you would know one day you buy a house. You can put up a fence around your house. You can do hardwood flooring to your house. When you're putting down floors, it's different from what we're doing for hardwood flooring, but it gives you some steps, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a lot that you need to learn. I ain't saying that you really need to learn it. These are things that you're gonna have in life. You're gonna own a car. You're gonna own a house. And have to show you respect because you're going to have a wife. And you're going to have some kids. So your dad would tell you a do's and don'ts. Don't take it at madness. Always ask him why, and then he'll tell you. You don't see things quickly. Always best to look, listen. Don't say I know first, you know. But that's how life is. You know, it's hard and it's good sometimes.
Other people that you lost in your life, who do you miss the most? What is it about them that you miss?
Well, I tell you, it's a lot of people I miss that I was raised up with. But just yesterday, since you brought that up, people that I miss. I have a mother, father, and brother. Just yesterday, I went to the cemetery. I can always get to my dad, which is easy, to find him in the cemetery. There's a lot of headstones out there, but I got to him real quick. And I told him by over his gravesite that I miss him. And I miss everything he ever taught me. And I thanked him. Even down to the whoopings, you know, as a kid, we get shit, you know. But even though at his age of hurting with cancer, I didn't know. But I kept going and master the things that he knew and things that I knew from learning from healing. And a lot of things I've done. I just can't call everything. I can be here for hours of things I did in my life and succeeded. And other people that worked for Conway Edison and plumbing, everybody got degrees and I whooped them, you know. But I got videotape of your granddaddy setting a service to a building in Mississippi, a house, just a trailer there, a big house. And I went on a pole and got the electric and brought it to the house, hooked it up. And the electric man said he wanted to keep me to work for him. He said, I did everything perfectly right. And because I got a license, I needed school. You got to learn reading and write, you know. But I'm, like I'm saying, I'm ace on it. But at the cemetery, I got to my daddy. Lo and behold, I missed my mom. But I truly wanted to come there because of my mom, but my daddy's first. And I couldn't find my mother's gravesite. But I know to look across, there's a big tree. 5 step to the right, 3 steps up. That's my brother, Hubert Abram, Spec 5 Sergeant in the Army. These all the 3 people that I've missed, that I would give anything to be with, if they were here on this earth. Maybe not where they at now, though, you know, I want to live a little bit more of this life, though, but I want to, I miss them very badly, you know. You know, it's hard to say the people that you raised with pass away, cousins and friends and uncles and nephews and all kinds of different stuff. You know, then pass away on me, that I done slept with and been at their house. It's a great big storybook for me. If I can write it, you can record it. It'd just be too long, you know, be too long. But then the biggest people I miss of them all, I got other people I miss that I learned mechanic and all that stuff, TVs and different stuff, but they're my main choices.
Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you would like to share?
Share with the people here now? Share with you, or
just my family, my kids, their kids, anybody that might
hear this? Well, the biggest thing I can say to you to share with them is that your granddaddy said that he had first priority to do certain things he didn't do. And he's leaving to you. I'm leaving to you to pass it on. That regardless in life or up and down, it's a road or you can call a train. It can go either way, but not on the same track unless they separate. You know, to go east or west, north or south, you have to stay on that straight line to say my schooling is first, my education is first. After that, I should be able to make a decision what my next desire should be. Take it slow and concentrate and don't jump. That's for everything, you know. And God always fixes for you to learn a right way. You know, I just got through with my nephew with the same thing. You need a car, but you won't have to learn.
Last question. If, say, your mother, like you said, your mother, father, brother were here, what would you say to them?
Oh, I would thank them ever so much if I could just hug them for everything they taught me. And I'm glad of it. It's too much to tell you how much I miss and what I would say to them. But it's always going to be L-O-V-E love from the bottom of my heart. You know, I can never change that. I would have to live with that. That's really why I said, no hatred. Love your neighbor. They gonna be smart. Never show nothing but love. You'll find out who loves you better. An enemy can be your loving person. Somebody else's enemy can be your best friend. Because there's a reason why that person has an enemy. See? Don't mean that he can be your enemy. Can't be nothing else. That's all I can tell you. A lot of things that would change in life, but I can't change it now. I'm just rolling with the punches. Keep it moving.
Guess that was the last question. I said, I guess that was the last question. I said, I want to say thank you for doing this interview and talking about your life. It's very inspirational. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with the floor and all that, I felt like proud doing the floors and stuff. Some of the ideas, something that I learned to do, not to do. Say thank you, and I love you.
I understand it looked like a good job. You did pretty good. We got some little things that we can catch up on, but we got one more bedroom left in that granddaddy's bedroom you got left. The material is still there waiting on you when you get a chance. Tighten it up for him and do your best you can. You know, I got carpenter and I want to do my bedrooms upstairs. I got a lot of things to do. I got so much good stuff. I got some stuff that I showed to my son's school buddies and came out to be carpenters remodeling houses. And they'd come to me in the day of the week when they pass in front of this door. They say, Mr. Abram, how you feel? Thank you. And they told their mother, this is the man I'd rather be my daddy, because he showed me. He didn't argue with me, even if I messed up. He said, oh, okay, we'll fix that. Don't worry about that. But the boss said, he gonna pay for it. I said, no, he's not gonna pay for it. Because son, you the boss now, and you taught more than on me than he can ever tell. You see what I'm saying? That's the reason why he got quiet. You know, but this life is learning experience, and you're gonna meet every one of them. But you tip real slow and think really hard. Don't make another move, you know. I hope that interview do you perfect. Thank you, grandson for giving me an interview. Okay?
All right.
And I wish you good in school.
Thanks.
All right.